Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, the Thursday of the 11th week in Ordinary Time, what is the Lord calling us to? What does the Lord want of us? You can see from the readings of this week, and especially this past week, there's a real call on our lives to worship in sincerity and truth. No false worshipers, no lip service, genuine commitment to God, genuine heart open to be loved by God and to love Him more, and as a consequence, that love through us for others. That's the way we need to live every day. I'm on this earth to live this life, to draw closer to God, to give my life to Him, to follow Him, and to bring as many other people as possible to Him. God is giving me these years, in a sense, to work out my salvation. Not that I do that alone, by no means. I am not the source. It's my union with God that enables me to live like Him, think like Him, speak like Him, act like Him. That's what God is asking of us as disciples. And I have so many years on this earth to practice that, to live like that. And it's not up to me even then, because God is the source. God supplies all the grace. The issue for us is, do I cling to Christ? Or do I cling to the things of this world? Have I gotten sidetracked? Am I off the main path? Have I been enticed? Have I been tantalized by all kinds of empty promises, and I followed them, sometimes to the ruin of my own life? But you know what, brothers and sisters? As long as we live, there is hope for us. We can always turn back and ask the Lord, be my Father, be my Savior, I need you. And put ourselves in His presence and say, I will follow you all the days of my life. As the psalm says, so that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what we want. And the scriptures here are teaching us. They're helping us to confront our own sin, helping us to confront our own weakness, but to seek after Him, because He will supply what we do not have. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Brothers and sisters, if only you would put up with a little foolishness from me. Please put up with me, for I am jealous of you with the jealousy of God, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts may be corrupted from a sincere and pure commitment to Christ. Looks to me, he says, like you're not following the Lord exactly. You're trying to serve two masters, and that won't work. The enemy's gotten in there. He's enticing you away from faith in God. It's essentially what he's saying here. I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts may be corrupted from a sincere and pure commitment to Christ. For if someone comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with that well enough. For I think that I am not in any way inferior to these super apostles. So there are others who are vying for the loyalty of people. Even if I am untrained in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. In every way, we have made this plain to you in all things. Did I make a mistake when I humbled myself so that you might be exalted, because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I plundered other churches by accepting from them in order to minister to you. And when I was with you and in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my needs. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. By the truth of Christ in me, this boast of mine shall not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. God knows I do. I love you, says Paul. I want you to know the God I have come to know. I have not asked anything of you. Others have supplied my needs. Is it because of the way I talk? Is that somehow not acceptable to you? All I want to do is bring you the good news of Jesus Christ. Psalm 111 says, your works, O Lord, are justice and truth. Paul has humbled himself before the people. I know I'm not perfect. I know I lack. I know I have needs. I know that I have... We don't know what the cross was that he carried. It's never made public. He was asking freedom from that. It may have been in his speech. We don't know. But he's just saying to them, I know I'm not like some of the super apostles, whoever they may be, coming to you. I know I lack in some things, but my heart is totally given to God and to you. Can you not accept me? Your works, O Lord, are justice and truth. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company and the assembly of the just. Great are the works of the Lord, exquisite in all their delights. The works of his hands are faithful and just. Sure are all his precepts, reliable forever and ever, wrought in truth and equity, so that when I serve, brothers and sisters, when I teach, when I minister to others by whatever means, and there are a wide variety of ways of doing that, I do it based on the gospel. I use the words of God. I depend on him, as the psalmist did here. Because it is the Lord who is gracious and merciful. It is the Lord who supplies what I need. Paul was utterly dependent upon God in this challenging situation. So have I been. Not, I'm not comparing myself to Paul, but sometimes there are challenging situations. How do I respond? With the grace and the power of God, or do I just react out of my own flesh? We need to answer those questions. And we can only change because of God's mercy. Your works, O Lord, are justice and truth. So I have to live in justice and truth. If I violate that, if I resort to lies to try and convince people I'm good, everything will fall. He is the truth. Truth is not a set of principles. Truth is a person. It is Jesus. Is he dead center in my life? Or not. The Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, in praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Sometimes, when in a church somewhere, and I have to be very careful here that I don't stand in judgment against people, but I would have to say that the way of praying, for example, praying the rosary before the Blessed Sacrament, you can hardly take a breath. It goes so fast. And I think, are we just babbling? Are we just saying the words to say I've completed the task? Or are we praying? Are we really praying? Our Father, who art in heaven, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Are we praying, believing? I know we have to set a certain tone and a certain speed when a lot of people are praying together, but my question is not so much that. It's, am I praying with conviction, or am I just saying the words and saying, well, that did it, accomplished my rosary for the day? I'm really talking to an infinitely loving person who is looking at me and is hearing every word I pray. How do I pray? How do I pray? Are we like the pagans who think that they will be heard because of their many words? Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. But ask Him. Show that you look to Him as the source of all. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Only ask for the day. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Are you doing that when you pray the Lord's Prayer? Are you forgiving? Do you stop and forgive, or do you make sure that as soon as you can, you stop and forgive that person? Otherwise, your prayer is hollow. Otherwise, your prayer is not heard. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. This is what we really have to wrestle with, brothers and sisters. It's not the multiplication of words that saves us. It's living what the Scripture tells us. Please don't ever think that what I'm saying is I'm opposed to the rosary. That's the last thing I would be. But it's how we do it. And it's the state of our soul when we do it. If we're laden down with sin and lack of repentance, if we're filled with bitterness and jealousy and envy, and there's strife among us, how can God possibly hear our prayer? Go and be reconciled. What is it Scripture tells us? Go and be reconciled and then bring your gift to the altar. Brothers and sisters, we can't live as hypocrites and think that God is pleased. We can't. So the Scriptures are very, very, very clear here. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. You don't want to die that way. Please repent and ask God for the grace to do it in His power. Don't just say the words. Ask God to give you a spirit of repentance, a spirit of desire to reconcile yourself to one who seems to be your enemy right now. God will supply. He'll give you situations. He'll give you words to say. You won't know them until the very moment you open your mouth, but God will supply. If you follow His word, you will know life. If you choose to go your own way, you will know death, and even eternal death. Please, brothers and sisters, follow Him in truth. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.